If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz. Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Show on TheRightStuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, TheRightStuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to TheRightStuff.biz/paywall. And follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
It is the Daily Show, 11:40, coming to you live in the midst of this great peace wave.
Peace wave
in the United States.
The Jewish apocalypse.
Sounds like some gay hippie shit, but it's really, unless there's some Jewish shit, I guess. It's the peace wave.
Yeah, it's apparently, I think this peace wave is a construction of Jews. Now, I will say, because you know how you said we can't do the thing that Borza and I did again on today's show, we do have a request in the comments that we do it again today.
Really?
This guy says, I really enjoyed this analysis. I would love it if you did it again tomorrow. That was a comment on yesterday's show.
Is he being facetious?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. But
I suppose. I don't know.
Well, there was one thing I did want to address, which is the
remember the peace dividend? We just did a bunch of more wars.
Right. The peace dividend dividend for Jews is it's peaceful, so that gives us operating room to have more wars.
Yeah, we go spend our peace dividend on bombs for Serbia.
Right, because if you think about it, when you have a peace dividend, that just means there's peace, so there's opportunity for war.
Yeah.
It's not that we actually are just enjoying peace.
Oh my God, what a fucked up way to think about the world.
Peace dividend.
I mean, I don't know if that's how they were actually... that's what they were thinking. But I don't know if that's what they really were trying to sell to you. I think they were trying to sell you something else. I think that is kind of what they're saying. The peace dividend is giving America, the opportunity to, sort of globally do, the global neoliberal stuff and, branch out and spread...
I don't know.
Value.
Are you talking about the Margaret Thatcher, George W. Bush, H.W. Bush formulation?
Something like that.
I remember more of that coming out of the Clinton era.
Okay, yeah, because we're not talking about the same thing then.
A peace dividend.
I just remember
that being sort of a thing you say about the United States federal budget and what you can do. How are you gonna waste the peace dividend?
Oh, dude,
that's like the traditional way of looking at it. It's peace dividend. As the Soviet Union's fallen, therefore we can back off on the military spending.
Right, right, right.
And now we got money.
Yeah. I don't know. It was all just gay.
So I don't think that ever happened.
So the peace wave is basically a drop in crime arrests around the country, right? It's not arresting people. I mean, they basically, you explained in that thing that they admit that they just don't have data.
Yes.
We have the NIVERS and then we have the other data collection. I can't remember what was the victims report. And
Uniform crime report.
Uniform crime report. Isn't there also a victim survey?
They're very different things.
Yeah. Yes. And it's the compliance is down on sending that data in. So I was it's a peace wave. It's you have a compliance issue. You have nobody sending in data. You're missing data. Missing data is not the same as a no.
Well, the thing is, it's I'm going to explain this again because you'll just enjoy this. So you heard it yesterday. I'll do it again. People like to hear the same things over and over again. The FBI had two ways of collecting crime stats. One is the uniform crime reporting, where they ask police departments, just send us the raw numbers of your incidents, like murders, robberies, whatever it is, whatever the categories are. Send us those raw numbers that you had at your department over the last X time period, year or whatever it might be, right? Then they had
NIBRS.
That's called UCR, and that data was encapsulated in the FBI Uniform Crime Report, which they put out yearly, but now they're putting them out quarterly, apparently. Cool. I don't know.
Exciting.
But then they had NIBRS.
NIBRS.
NIBRS is National Incident-Based Reporting System.
Nigger Incident-Based Reporting.
Yes, that's what it really is. Nigger Incident-Based. I mean, and the reports aren't even... Are they really based?
Are they based?
Yeah.
Yes. Not this time.
Well, it's based when you point out that it's niggers. Other than that, it's not based. But, so that's more complicated, because that's actually submitting, it's incident based, not raw numbers. So they want they want the police departments to submit reports on each incident to the feds. And I'm assuming they want to do some shenanigans with it, but like, why else would you want like more information about the incidents? It's probably like some reason that they want that. But in any case, that's harder and more complicated to comply with than uniform crime reporting. And in 2022, the FBI is like, we don't want uniform crime reporting anymore. We just want NIBRS.
Yeah.
And
which is basically, that's America. They just want NIBRS.
Yeah. So we just want NIBRS. I think that was like 2021. Anyway, whatever.
Creepy
point
NIBRS.
Point being that, like, then what happened was that the reporting, like, fell off a cliff, because they were like, oh, we had a simple system and a complicated system, and we're not doing the simple system anymore. Everyone's got it. Everybody has to do the complicated system now. And so, like, a lot of departments just didn't report. So
now we have a peace wave.
And then the next year after that, they're like, oh, well, that didn't work, so we're reintroducing the simple system. And these departments are like, yeah, but we'd already phased out reporting for that. So it didn't solve anything. But again, it's also like, I think a lot of the departments just don't, they're just not reporting. Because even this.
What do you mean it didn't solve anything? We're having a peace report.
We're having a peace wave. A peace report. So there's even no, the
crime data has dropped.
Even the
we won.
Even the assessment that crime is down is based on the FBI's third quarter report, inclusive of January to September 2023, which was released in December of 2023.
Global and crime statistics released, 2023.
Yes, when that was released. That was when all these media reports came out, like slapping themselves on the back for like crime rates are going down. And the problem is that in 2022, the Uniform Crime Report from the FBI reported a 1.7% drop in serious crimes, where the National Crime Victim Survey showed a 44% increase in crimes, like violent crimes. And so I'm like,
were they serious crimes, though?
Yeah, violent crime, serious. Violent crime. Okay, violent crime. Let's leave the serious out.
Oh,
violent crime.
I thought that was their term. I thought you were using their terminology.
I don't want to confuse this. But the thing is, so the National Crime Victim Survey, so people understand that, that is a, based on interviews that the Bureau of Justice Statistics does with 150,000 American households. And from that, they then, that's like, it's like done like a poll, like a survey, like, have you been a victim of a crime? What kind of crime were you a victim of? And they interview 150,000 households out of, now, that's actually, if you look at political polling, they do political polling and they accurately predict political results
out of like 1,800 people.
Within a few percentage points with like 2,000 person sample.
Yeah.
Right? So we're getting 150,000 households in America, and you can assume that they are normalizing that, right? They're actually picking representative samples of the population. Whereas when you have reporting and not reporting from departments across the country, that's not necessarily a normalized representative sample, because if, for example, a city like New York doesn't report, which it didn't,
New York didn't report. I didn't catch that.
2022. There was no report from New York City.
So there was no crime in New York City in 2022.
So when that happens, though, what you're doing is you're just missing a massive, really important piece of data. So
I mean, it wasn't that the year.
What's the what's the justification for the lack of data in 2022? It's a little too late to be blaming it on COVID.
They just didn't do it.
It's because they just didn't fucking do it.
It's bad.
I just didn't feel like it.
It's literally nibbers. I'm telling you, it's because black people.
2022 was the year where they got rid of bail. It was just crime everywhere. Like, if you go read the fucking newspapers, that use that as your data. Like, every day is like, here's another nibber that did this crime. Posted bail for free and went and did that crime.
It was a banner
and then left
year.
Again.
It was a banner year for nibbers.
Yeah. It was just it was a crime spree of like we're not holding anybody in Rikers because one time we had a nibber.
It's like no one's doing.
One time
anything.
We had a nibber that was in there awaiting trial for 3 years and he died. And this is real. This is worse than that guy should have been out on the street doing other crimes.
Yeah,
that was the one I liked. It was like the aging out of crime. You guys talked about this in the article. They were talking about the concept of these people age. Like no, they die. You don't age out of crime. Like, as a nibber, you're either incarcerated for so long you can only do crimes on the inside. I don't think those count.
I don't know if they do, actually. I mean, you do get... There's a lot of times nibbers go into jail, and then they commit crimes in jail, and it's just like, that keeps them in jail.
You know what I mean? I don't think that counts towards, like, the statistic we're talking about.
Like,
crime on the street in public. Like, I don't think that... Like, crime inside the big house. I don't give a fuck. You know? That's not my problem. Yeah. But it's like...
Or you get killed.
Like you don't age out of crime. You just like the criminals like die. Like old niggers just like didn't do crime. Like there's the ones that just didn't do them.
Right. Or are there some that just got really lucky?
I guess that's possible, but I just don't think so. I mean, look what niggers have to do to age out of crime. They have to become like famous rappers or like sports stars or something.
Right.
And well, go into something
else.
There was
this Ock Nation video a few years ago. Where like there was a story about like this 72-year-old nigger who like some young ops came to his house to kill him and he had his house like booby trapped and he caught them and like killed them and Ignatius was like there's a reason that nigger's 72.
Yeah, right.
And it was like, okay, so you have like that one wily nigger who's managed to like outsmart all of his competitors.
But hold up. So
that's a unique situation.
So he didn't age out of crime. He had young ops.
He was just smarter than they were. Like,
why did he have ops though? Like, what did he do?
A nigger.
I know.
He also wasn't aging out. He was still murdering people.
That's what I'm saying.
72.
He didn't age out of crime. He had ops.
But he's also just better at it than they were, even at age 72.
I've regularly seen niggers in their 50s like committing murder. Like, I don't. When do they age out?
When they die.
They age out when they
this
get
was one
shot.
Of, this is one of the things. I don't remember what the context was in the article.
Well, the aging out is you get less niggers committing crimes at age 40 because less niggers
make it
to age 40.
Yeah.
Like, black men making it to age 40 is like, wow, that happened. Holy shit. How'd that happen? I guess, like, he was one of these, like, blurreds that, like, moved to a white suburb.
Yeah.
You know? Can't even say. You know what? The term white suburb... It doesn't fucking apply in America anymore.
I don't think so.
It used to be a meaningful term, like, in the 90s. Now it's like, no.
Ron Kuby would call it Outer Whitelandia.
Yeah.
Because he's Jewish.
Ron Juby.
Yeah, he could say
flee the suburbs to go out into the rural middle of nowhere.
That's what white people are doing now, because the suburbs are getting blacked.
Mm-hmm. Not just blacked, all kinds of ethnic groups.
Yes, and I'd also say this.
You never know.
You're having a drop in crime in Detroit... You're having like a drop in human beings in Detroit. Like the number of people in Detroit is like a third of what it was at its peak or something like that. It's like way down. So yeah, at some point, it's just going to be like a wasteland. It's going to be a rural area at some point. Detroit is going to be rural. Like rural Detroit.
Nature is healing.
Yes. It's going to get back over. I was saying at some point you're going to actually see niggers with like corn husks and like plates in their lip wandering around Detroit. They're literally just going to go back to like what they were.
Return to tradition.
Yeah, for real. But, yeah.
Traditional dippers.
Yeah, that's like deeply traditional. But so is just like murder and stuff for them, I guess. But,
it's just their culture.
Yeah, it's their culture. Into. It's not a costume. Or it is a costume, but it's also their culture.
Well, their culture is like high infant mortality rate, so this doesn't happen
that's
as
true.
Often.
That's true. It always has been like this, you know?
If we close enough hospitals, we'll get there.
Yeah. There's a video I wanted to show. So But again, it's like it's the video is just.
Is that why you're triggering me with flitting around on your computer talking?
I'm not talking. There's a video that I was sent that I wanted to show, but I can't really show it because it's not downloading. And for whatever reason, Telegram isn't fucking working. What I wanted to say is this. There's one thing I got kind of wrong yesterday. I need to make a correction.
Oh.
So when Borzo and
Wait, you just got one thing wrong?
Well, no, this is I'm just correcting one of the... There's only one thing I'm correcting.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
There's one that wasn't an agenda-driven lie.
Right, yes, exactly. So, last night I talked about the accident. There was an accident in the Gaza Strip where, like, 24 Jews got fucking killed.
Right.
I'm familiar with that one.
Right, so it's good. It's good. But here's what I said. So, I read the Jew media report on this, and their claim was that the soldiers were rigging up a building explode, and they were doing this.
I believe they called it a terror structure.
Yes, yeah, something like this. And the excuse that they were giving, the excuse that they were giving for this, is that it was 600 meters from a Jewish settlement that was on the other side of the border with the Gaza Strip.
And just demolish the settlement that's on the other side.
Well, okay, but this is what I reported. Okay, so I read what they were saying. They were saying the reason that they were demolishing it with rigged explosives rather than bombs is because it was very close to this Jew settlement. Well, now, first of all, I don't think that's even true, but I want to say this. First of all, if that is true, that's actually, there's implications for that statement for your bombing campaign generally and the genocide charge against you, which shows that like you are actually taking more care for an empty Jewish settlement than you are for a populated Palestinian city.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that establishes that you can minimize collateral damage if you feel like it.
Yes, that establishes that
like,
there are processes you can do that will spare civilians, and you're doing it to spare Jews that are 600 meters across this border. However, that town is empty of Jews. What they're doing is they want to spare their buildings and their infrastructure there. So they're taking more care to save empty homes and buildings that belong to Jews than they are populated ones that belong to Palestinians. But, of course, we all know they're actually just indiscriminately bombing to kill as many Arabs as they can. That's just what they're doing, right? And they are actually systematically destroying every structure in the Gaza Strip. It's like, what did Lewis say? They're like playing Pac-Man. They're eating dots on a map. They're basically going through and they're just destroying every fucking structure. Now, there's a few things that are going on. So, one is that the reason they're not... It could be true that one of the reasons they're not bombing is that they don't want to hit this Jew settlement 600 meters away. However, their bombs are accurate enough that 600 meters, you're not going to accidentally go awry by 600 meters. That's a lot to go... You know, it's almost a kilometer. Like 0.6 kilometers, right? Isn't that right? So, I mean, I don't understand metric. It doesn't make any sense. So, I'm just guessing. But, So what they're doing is they're actually rigging up. But the reality is, I think, twofold. One, they are, in fact, just rigging up all these structures to explode like they did with that university where we showed that the other day.
Yep. That controlled demolition. Yep.
And they're doing it because it actually takes fewer munitions when you systematically destroy when you can go in and you can plant them at structural key points than dropping them from the air. It takes fewer explosives to do that.
I mean, I can imagine a lot of reasons, like you avoid collateral damage to your own troops. Maybe you just have an inventory of this and you need to get rid of it so the United States will resupply you.
I was going to say, in terms of aerial bombs, bombs that you can drop from planes or shoot or artillery and stuff like that, they're probably up against the logistical wall on that stuff. And I said this before. These are not infinite. We have a lot of them. We've sent a lot of them to Israel. They use them at an incredible rate, like 1,000 a day. And if we're talking about the war's been going on 100 days, and like this is probably a high estimate, but like 1,000 a day, 100 days, you're on 100,000 bombs. That's a lot of fucking bombs. That's a lot. And these things are not infinite, even though we're talking about the United States military-industrial complex and its reason for existing, which is the state of Israel. So even that productive capacity, like, they are stretching it. Their logistics with those bombs are probably being stretched. Like, they don't have an infinite supply. We have to make them. We have to send them over to them. For whatever reason, Congress not passing a funding bill hasn't affected that whatsoever. Like, it doesn't. There's no limit on what we'll send to them, so it's whatever. But so what they're doing is, now, I would say, though, that it's not true that they reduce potential damage. It's objectively not true that they're reducing potential collateral damage to their troops or damage to their troops. It's more dangerous for them to go in on the ground and rig buildings to explode than it is to bomb from the air. It's significantly more dangerous. Palestinians don't have air defense. They can't do anything against planes flying and dropping bombs. They can't do shit with that. But if soldiers go in to the buildings in the Gaza Strip to rig them for explosives, well, guess what? Palestinians might ambush you and kill 24 kikes. And it was actually one Palestinian. The video that they released of this incident, it was one Arab. One Hamas guy with two RPGs took out 24 Jews. Because the story was that there was 21 in the building that they were rigging.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the content? I don't know if I could do that. And I would say to myself, man, this Svenpai guy is making good content. I love this. I can't take any more free riding. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm Svenpai's top guy. What am I going to do? Seven Sun chose me to get a subscription. Whoa, Sven needs me? Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to bat for you, Sven. I'm going to therightstuff.biz/paywall, Sven.
And then there was another three that were killed that were in like a tank or an APC nearby. And if you watch the video, you see him.
Oh, wait, that was one incident? I thought that was like a different incident somewhere further away.
Dude, it's one guy. It was one guy. You see him. He's like creeping in the bushes. He sees the building. They do like the arrow over it. He shoots the RPG. And then there's like a big explosion. He's like running. And you see it's like the camera's like all over the place. And then he comes around a corner. He sees like a tank. He comes back around the corner. Then you see another RPG come out and he shoots that one. And it's like, dude, this guy got like a fucking high score, bro. Like, what a hero. You know, like what a fucking. That guy's fucking awesome. That guy should get like 10,000 medals. That guy should be given like the medal of the year. Like, that guy's fucking awesome, whoever did that. But these, this right here...
His KDR is something really, really amazing.
Right, but what I want to show you is, this right here is controlled, this is, like what they did with that university, these are controlled demolitions of homes. So what the Jews are doing, because I think they're up against a logistical wall with their bombing, and they probably have a lot of these explosives, and they're taking mines. And they're also showing it on TikTok, and that was the video that I wanted to show you. Somebody had sent me, Lewis sent me a video of Jews, like, showing themselves, filming themselves, rigging up a bunch of buildings with mines and such to do this, like, pull it and they all fall, right? Just like Larry Silverstein on 9/11, as people have been saying. So the thing is, what he was saying to me was, like, if you do one, you could rig it up really quickly and, like, run away and then pull it and blow it, right? But what they've been doing is they've been filming themselves. The IDF, there's a bunch of TikTok videos that have been going around where the IDF is filming themselves, like, rigging up the mines and the wires and stuff. They're, like, laughing and joking and, like, stacking them around. And they try and do a lot of them at once. So then when they back off and they detonate them, there's, like, this impressive explosion. They all blow up, and then the massive cloud of dust from all the blown concrete, like, rises into the air, right? And it's impressive, and they put it on TikTok, and they all laugh about it. And he was like, and I think he's right, that the Palestinians caught them in the middle of doing this. Mm-hmm. And this guy shot an RPG.
TikTok is very dangerous for the modern military.
Think about it. So this Palestinian... The Palestinians know they're doing this. They're not stupid. They have intelligence on this. They see the TikTok videos. It pisses them off. And so they're like, all right, you're going to do that? Well, we're just going
to wait. I wish he was live streaming. I would just love to see, like, the selfie video of the RPG approaching. this dumb fucking kite grin on his face.
Yeah,
that
would be great if he was live streaming. That would be great if he was live streaming, so you could forever like have the when the video goes blank, like when it just like static and it's like, wait, what happened? Well, you just got fucking just got wrecked. So the Palestinians apparently they see them doing this and they're like, all right, well, we're gonna catch them doing this, and they caught them doing it and they killed 24 Jews, and this was like a major and what I was reading in the Jew media was like. The Israeli brass of their military is like mad, and they're like doing this internal investigation, and they're upset. And I'm like, yeah, and they're probably going to tell their troops, yeah, no more of this bragging on TikTok about detonating entire city blocks because you fucking leave yourself vulnerable to this kind of shit because it takes more time. Like if you're going to rig up one building and leave, do it fast, get out. You're doing a whole city block. That's like an afternoon's work, right? With for a whole bunch of soldiers. But when you're doing that, you're fucking vulnerable. And here you go, like. And the other thing is this this whole thing where they're
aren't
like,
you vulnerable to being like questioned by like I don't know those other authorities on you planet would, Earth? You would think what that, is this right? atrocity you're doing? Where you're just destroying this infrastructure, these structures. Yeah. Like, what is this about?
Well, that's also like remember then we showed,
oh you're Israel, you're allowed to do whatever you
we
want.
We showed Matthew Miller like
tell me about how this makes you're the victim in this detonation.
Right. Tell us how when people get mad about this and you just victim. Go and slam ice cream and glare at cathedrals, right? Like. Because you're angry at white people for like questioning you. So that reporter is like questioning Matthew Miller about this, and he's like, we don't know anything about this. And as it turns out, like, yeah, they rigged it for...
I just told you about it, Matthew Miller.
Yeah.
I just told you the information.
Yeah, I just gave you the information. As it turns out, it's true. Like, they're just going into buildings, so there's no, like, Hamas infrastructure in the buildings. They're going into buildings, they're rigging them for explosions, and they're blowing them up. And they're doing that so they are going to destroy. So everyone understands this. Their plan that they are carrying out is to destroy every single structure in the Gaza Strip. In Gaza City, in Khan Yunis, in Rafah, in every one of these cities and towns in the Gaza Strip, their goal is to destroy every single building. And they are doing that. They're doing it with bombs. They bombed Gaza City to the point where there's no more structures there. And now and they got everyone to flee south. And there's another aspect to this, which is their claim that like we're somewhat pulling out of the Gaza because we've got like mission accomplished there. Like we got rid of Hamas there and we got rid of Hamas there and we found the terror infrastructure or whatever. So now we can kind of like pull out of that. I have a theory. And Lewis was agreeing with me. We were discussing this last night. We both independently came up with this idea that in fact, at the beginning of the war, there was talk that like Hamas is mainly holed up in Gaza and has like less of a presence in Khan Yunis and elsewhere. But once the Jews sort of shifted their operation from Gaza to Khan Yunis to the southern part of the Gaza Strip, which they said they were pretending at the beginning that they weren't going to do. At the beginning, they were pretending that they weren't going to do that. They were just fucking lying. So now they've shifted their operation there. They're actually taking much higher casualties in the last few days and weeks than they had in the beginning in Gaza Strip or in Gaza City. Reason I think is because Hamas basically tricked them again and didn't leave as many troops in Gaza City and actually did put their troops, which is like this idea that Hamas has more of a presence in Gaza City than they would in Khan. That seems like some kind of cope. Like it's not a big place. They're highly mobile. It's like what, 26 kilometers, 26 miles long. Like, dude, they can go wherever they want within that little area. Like, they can shift all their forces to Khan Yunis if they want in, like, an afternoon and just be there waiting when you actually eventually get to that. And in fact, so Hamas has been scoring much more, like, big hits, like this one where they killed all these Jews yesterday or the day before. In the last couple of weeks when Jews have been fighting in Khan Yunis, they've actually been taking more casualties. So it seems like once again they got tricked. And anyway, point being that they're probably going to start a war with Lebanon. They're probably going to start. What's that?
That would be a mistake.
Well, from their perspective, they are the problem for them is like the thing is they don't need to win the war in Lebanon. I think the purpose of the war in Lebanon isn't to win. I think the purpose is to distract everyone while they continue to like destroy Gaza and just have people talking about that. And even if they lose, because if they invade Lebanon, they'll lose. They'll get driven out by Hezbollah. Hezbollah is highly capable of defending Lebanon from an Israeli invasion. And they so they will win. And so they might be willing to take that loss in order to then destroy Gaza entirely. While theoretically no one's looking. But I don't think that's going to work out for them either, because I think everyone's just going to look at everything. And I also think this could be partially responsible for why America is like starting shit in Yemen. And it's also, I've been reading some analysis on this. A lot of people are saying like the Houthis are probably just like putting out decoys and shit. They're basically just putting up like, yeah, here's a missile launcher. This is totally a missile launcher. And just like sort of inviting America to like bomb shit that just like doesn't matter.
To airstrikes, they're just used to it. That's the stupidest fucking thing about all this. Like, right, if we increase the bombing campaign, why do you think that would work now when it hasn't worked so far?
And they keep thinking, and they keep saying they're hitting like missile depots and launch sites, and like, and people that know about this are kind of like laughing, like, no, you're hitting like target. They're laying those out for you. They're putting it. They're drawing like an X on the ground. They're like, bomb here, and you're doing it. You're not hitting where their shit actually is. You're not actually hitting missile. You're not.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not an American who was born yesterday, you understand that like this has been the strategy for decades in the Middle East, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Like trying to bomb them into oblivion just makes them more radicalized. It aggravates your neighbors. And it's a failed strategy.
Israel's doing that. I mean, in terms of this whole thing that people say, like glass the whole area, like reduce the whole thing to nothingness. One. When people say that, they assume that the American military is all powerful and has like the capability to do that. Now, theoretically, it does, but when you do something like that, there's massive like political cost. But Israel right now is trying to glass the desert. Now, you could do it with nukes.
I don't think that you would be able to deal with like the environmental effects of that. To be honest, like the whole region, you're going to nuke and glass that entire part of the planet.
Listen to this liberal who cares about the planet.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Oh,
planet Earth.
We run this shit.
Yeah.
The environment doesn't
I like the planet more than I like Americans.
The environment doesn't go bad unless we let it.
Right. Or bad environment, there's no such thing. I'll just breathe in all the
The cloud of radiation going to blow to China? Oh, I'm so sad.
I roll coal to my own kids just to toughen them up.
Right.
Well, yeah, take the carbon, take those fumes right to the face, kids. But learn to be a real man.
But Mr. Republican, what if some of the radiation drifts off into Africa?
Oh no!
Well, that would be typical racist Democrats.
That'd be terrible.
To say nothing of Israel.
Yeah, right. But the thing is, it's like when people say like glass the region, they actually mean things like blow up every building in the region. And it's like, well, that's actually what Israel is doing. And
it's been tried.
Well, they're doing it. Israel is doing. They're trying it right now. They're like, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna blow up every building in this area, in this city, this group of cities, this conurbation, as they say, this group of cities that are in the Gaza Strip. We're gonna blow all of it up. We're gonna blow all of it up. Just destroy everything, and then good luck. Good luck going back, Palestinians. So nobody has any idea what the ultimate end of this is going to look like. But yeah, the Jews are right now destroying every building in the Gaza Strip. America is running
cover. Broken window policy.
Yes. Yeah, this is
break all the windows in the buildings.
Break all the
wall them up.
Yes. This is the policy. America is the United States is covering for this. They are doing these things where Anthony Blinken goes over there or Joe Biden talks to Benjamin Netanyahu and they pretend that they're asking him to go easy and he's a frustrating person to deal with him. But this is all fucking kayfabe. None of this is real. America is running cover for Israel destroying every single piece of infrastructure in the Gaza Strip. And the hope there is that when they do that, then they'll be like, well, you can't really come back now, can you? Can you, Arabs? You're going to have to go somewhere else. Can't really come back because there's nothing to come back to. It's all blown up, and that's because of Hamas. And you should blame Hamas. You should not blame Jews. And they're going to run with that. And America is going to, with a straight face, people like Matthew Miller, going to go out and tell you that. We're going to tell you that. And that's why he's like, he's pretending like he had no idea, even though he also saw the video, but he didn't have any questions because he's sure that they're not committing war crimes. So they're just going to run, they're just running cover for it. Understand this. There's no truth to this. Blinken asked Netanyahu to take it easy. That's bullshit. That is bullshit. Even if like they actually went through the motions of that behind the scenes someplace, which I doubt that they did. Everyone understands that that's kayfabe. That is fake. America will never set any restrictions on what Israel can do, and it will never reduce support for Israel, and it will never investigate Israel, and it just won't. None of these things will happen. You will run slam into a brick wall thinking the United States government will ever respond democratically to demands to do this. But yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the fact that this is happening during election year is something of a problem, because then our system can kind of play political football with it. It's not going to be as good as if they had done this during a non-election year.
Well, it's less than ideal, but they're going to do it. I mean, frankly, if Joe Biden's political career has to end from the Jews' perspective, that's a very small price to pay, because this guy is 80 years old anyway. You know, if it just and frankly, what if it just means that Donald Trump gets elected?
Yeah, like another 4 years.
That's like a fucking win.
Another 4 year clown show of a Donald Trump administration is not really that tough to deal with. I mean, do you remember what it was like day to day, the Trump administration, like watching it on TV and how people? It's just
nothing was getting done.
It was just a day in day out like sitcom.
Yes.
Like nothing was real. Nothing was happening. He was constantly losing. He was constantly taking L's and then trying to pretend like he wasn't. He had his Jew son-in-law running things for him.
Yeah.
It's just like the whole thing was. It was. I mean. The only thing you could say, like, if you're one of these, I don't know, if you're one of these, like, beltway, like, people that takes their shit seriously, like, it was, like, embarrassing
to
the country. But it's, like, you can get through that.
Yeah, that doesn't matter either.
In order, like, remember, like, even if your national reputation is a smoldering ruin, like, the first job of the American government is to protect Israel. So, if he's
there are some costs to, like, America losing all this prestige, right? Which is that, like, I understand that they're not.
If only prestige, like, translated, like, a loss of prestige translated into a loss of hard power. They just still have so much hard power.
My point is this, though, that America doesn't only rely on hard power, though.
Right.
Like, the soft power institutions of American imperialism, and therefore, like, Jewish Israel Zog imperialism, are taking massive hits to their legitimacy and credibility.
You're never more than 4 years away from a reset where everyone agrees that, like, oh, it's all, thank goodness the adults are back. I mean, we saw it with Biden. We saw it with, like, Obama. Oh, America can rebuild its reputation around the world.
Yes, my point is not so much that, like, that will happen, mm-hmm. but, like, again, I don't know, but they can't pretend like that, like, the adults are back in charge of it's Donald Trump.
I'm saying. You're never more than four years away. Like,
these are real issues but they're also, like, when the Jews don't have great options, like, they have to take L's someplace.
Yeah.
And so if the L that they take is that Washington, D.C. loses prestige and legitimacy, that's an L that they will take.
Right.
And so, even though it is,
what do you think we own that place for?
It is an L.
They take the L so that we don't have to.
And what Israel's doing, I'm not saying, like, Israel's just going to, like, get away with all of this in forever. Like, no one gets away with stuff forever. Yeah. They're not going to get away with this forever. America is going to do everything it can and is going to expend all of its legitimacy, all of its political capital, and all of its prestige on protecting Israel while they do this. And there might not be anything left at the end, and therefore then having Donald Trump as president really doesn't fucking matter, because who fucking cares anyway? America's already a joke. And I don't think America's reputation or any of this soft power, any of these institutions, and how seriously people take any of this is going to survive this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be, that will be a blow to American imperialism. But for Jews, it's like, it's either that or living with the fact that the Gaza Strip still exists. And that's, so they're like between these two choices, which are, both of them are bad choices, but, like, this one is preferable to that one. But in the end, all of this is going to come back to bite them in the ass. Like, Israel, so understand, Israel will be destroyed. That country's not going to last. It's going to be destroyed eventually. I'm just hoping that, like, I'm going to be lucky enough to live to see it. That's a maybe, but I'm really hoping that that's the truth, that that will happen. That I will live to see Israel be destroyed. I am absolutely hoping that will happen. It's possible it won't, but it will be destroyed. It's not going to last another 100 years for sure. It's going to be done. It's not going to last that long. But again, I'm doing the bit where let me make a prediction that's like far outside of my timeline of expected living. That way I'll never have to eat being wrong. Anyway, so it's again, it's like Jews have bad options and they're picking one, but like it's still a bad option. But it's like, and they're also not thinking. Like they're not, they're like, yeah, we're going. And dude, right now in Israel, there are Likud party politicians and ministers that are organizing a conference on settling the Gaza Strip. I read this in the Times of Israel yesterday.
I saw that.
There is a conference being organized about like settling the Gaza Strip. And they're saying like the only way we can ever be secure is to settle this area, meaning like conquer this area, meaning like drive out the Arabs and put our own houses and condos and awful looking like Adobe style houses.
It's just an ethnic cleansing. You're planning an ethnic cleansing. There's no other way to describe that. You have an ethnicity there that you don't want to be there, and you're pushing them out. You're cleansing the region.
Doesn't that sound like what Putin is doing to Ukraine? Oh,
God, sort of. But the difference is those people were already Russian.
Speaking of that, Visegrad24 might be just one of the worst Twitter accounts.
Oh, that's a terrible account.
Israel Grad 24?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah.
The sheer hypocrisy they do on their coverage of Ukraine versus Israel.
I don't know how you can.
Well, that whole thing where they're like, oh, look at this. Here's Hezbollah doing Nazi salutes. I'm like, why do you want to make me love Hezbollah even more, Visegrad? Like, I already loved Hezbollah. Now I'm just like in awe of their majesty, of how base they are. It's like Hezbollah is literally one of the most base groups on the planet Earth. I'm sorry. There's really no argument against it.
Looks like Israel has another line of argumentation they can use with the casualties here, because apparently there's so much destruction, hospitals, emergency services, that Gazan authorities have trouble even calculating how many people are dead.
Right, because if you'll notice the numbers of dead that the Gaza Health Ministry has reporting.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Kind of stagnated in the last, like, I would even say, like, the last month or so. It was, like, at the beginning, it was going up really high, really fast. That's because they still had somewhat of an intact government that could count these things. Now they don't. And so it's like, yeah, there's no hospitals. How is the Gaza Health Ministry even functioning? They can't even count the dead anymore. I'm sure that this number that they said just surpassed 25,000 officially, I'm sure it's much higher than that. I'm sure there's bodies buried under the rubble all over the place that haven't been accounted for. We don't know how many are missing. There's no real governing structure there to account for these people anymore. There was in the first month or so. It's just not something that anybody really knows. So it's sort of a stagnant figure, and they don't know. I don't know how they're even still counting the dead. I mean, that's a situation that Israel has created. So they don't even know. And so it's remarkable, actually, when you do compare it to Ukraine. Like, there was a Russian bombing a couple weeks ago, and the Ukrainians were saying, like, oh, in this bombing, like, 18 civilians were killed. And it's like, maybe that's true, and that's bad, I guess, but that seems like, compared to like what Israel is doing, it's like it just seems so hollow for the Ukrainians to like scream and cry about that, and for America to come forward, and America can't even credibly come out and like point fingers at Russia for something like that, because you know, like a couple of years ago, if there was a Russian bombing like that where like 18 civilians were killed, America would have been all over the UN and the international institutions, like pointing fingers at Putin and being like, "How dare you? Look at this! You don't care. You're genociding Ukraine or whatever." But to do that now, to come forward now and say that, it's like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? But yeah, anyway.
So what is this here with the...
This is a Pentagon spokescreature.
Oh, God.
Sabrina the Teenage...
Whatever.
Dravidian, I guess. Sing. I'm waiting for the next press conference, like Clarissa Explains the War. That'll be the next one. Stupid looking fucking women telling us, like, it's an interesting line of questioning if it holds up to
look at those chairs. It's like chintzy fucking
Yeah, this is like,
so you think you could have some nicer chairs in the White House briefing room.
This is sort
right?
of like, they're not as good as the TV production is like AEW. You need to have, like, only show the hard camera side. You shouldn't be showing all these empty seats and how terrible the setup is. Just want to focus on.
Sabrina, is it now fair to say that the U.S. is at war in Yemen? And secondly, there are some reports about a U.S. MQ-9 being shot down over Iraq by Iranian-backed militia. Is that something you're tracking?
Thanks, Idris. In terms, I'll take the second, the last one first. I have seen those reports. I don't have anything for you on that. So I'd have to circle back with you.
What was he saying? There's reports of an American something shot down?
I'm just marveling at this person's face.
Yeah, what mystery meat is this?
And like, how do you, like, this is your DEI in action, I
What's
guess.
What's this woman's name?
Sabrina Singh. Singh is some kind of Indian shit, usually.
Yeah.
Like, this is what this country allows into its...
It's amazing the number of fucking Indian functionaries that they're putting out there.
This is a somewhat elite position she's got. She's talking to the media about foreign
Not somewhat elite.
This
is, she's an elite. She's an elite functionary.
Well, she doesn't have power. She has a...
No, but she's a functionary.
Yeah, she's a mouthpiece.
In that system, right? She's high... She's... Yeah. And when you're like a White House, Pentagon, whatever, a spokesperson, you are out there, you know...
And just like as a white person,
you are an elite.
You're not allowed into this if you're white.
No,
there is no like the
unless you're gay, like Matthew Miller.
Yeah, even then, like, I don't know how much more use are they going to have for that. But
yeah, that's going
to add. In terms of your first question, no, we don't seek war. We don't think that we are at war. We don't want to see.
We're just dropping bombs on them. It's a Joe Rogan casual style.
It's a casual Joe Rogan style bombing campaign.
Yeah, it's like it's sorties.
Yeah.
We're just in sorties. What's up?
We're just sorties.
I feel like I've seen this kind of rhetoric my entire life about the United States just unilaterally bombing the shit out of somebody and be like, we're not really at war. It's more like an operation.
We've got this loophole. We don't have to declare war anymore and just do stuff. We're just doing stuff.
We don't really have that loophole, but we just pretend like we have a loophole. Yeah. And
we haven't declared war. Like, so we're doing acts of war. We haven't declared it.
Right.
They haven't declared it back. It's not a war. It's just
touching you.
It's just we're touching you, but it's not assault. No,
like they're hitting themselves.
Of your first question, no.
Yemen is like hitting themselves, really. If you think about
war,
it,
we don't
like,
think
because
that we.
They're doing stuff that makes us bomb them.
It's funny you say that. There's a in response to this tweet or anything, the thread someone wrote. I wrote about this here. There's an article called UFOs are bombing Yemen. It's pretty good. It's like unidentified flying. It's not us. Unidentified flying objects.
We are at war. We don't want to see a regional war.
What about specific war with like Yemen? Not regions, it's like with that country. Like we're having a war with them, right?
That's also I don't believe you anymore.
Right.
A war. The Houthis are the ones that continue to launch cruise missiles, anti-ship missiles at innocent mariners, at commercial vessels that are just transiting an area that sees, 10 to 15% of the world's commerce.
So they're shooting missiles and we're dropping bombs, but this isn't a war, right? It's just...
But why don't those ships just not do that?
What I mean, why? But it's... She asked me, it's not a war. It's like, these people keep shooting missiles and stuff, and then to get back at them, we drop bombs on them. But it's not... We're not having a war, though.
No.
This is not conflict. It's just like
mutual combat.
Both sides are just firing. Both sides are just firing like large incendiary devices at each other.
It's mutual combat.
Yeah. Also, like we're hitting directly them. They're hitting proxies of ours, so we're actually feeling the pinch there. Really, your wallet might.
The U.S. is what we are doing with our partners is
partners
self-defense. We certainly don't want to see this widen out to a regional war, and we don't.
I would say this war widened from like Israel. It's already widened. It's widening. This is a wide regional conflict. Like, there's a war in Israel. There's also also funky conflicts with like Syria.
If you really
and then they're gonna have then they're gonna have Lebanon and then there's Yemen
and there's also
and then,
Iraq
and also there was also like Saudi. There was some kind of Saudi like involvement that didn't work out too well, right? Like
we were arming and funding.
And then what's
Saudi
happening
Arabia.
In Oman? Isn't there something with Oman too? Or am I confusing?
I think Oman is like supporting.
And then there's
Yemen.
Iran. And then there's Iran that's like there. You know. There's a lot of stuff that keeps happening. I think it's a regional conflict.
There's a reason. You forgot Iraq. They bombed Iraq yesterday too, right, or this morning.
Oh yeah, they did. That's
this
right.
is not a
Man,
war.
It's hard to keep track.
This is like that. This is like that bit with like we're in a banana
bombing Iraq.
The banana track. Has been going on for 2 years. Like that one. I don't know. It was a government spokesperson in like the '80s. It wasn't allowed to say recession.
So it was like banana for scale.
Banana instead. Yeah. So like we don't want to have a regional banana. We're not having a banana with Yemen. We're not peeling bananas. What's happening is these merchant mariners, they keep slipping on banana peels in the Red Sea there, yeah, or whichever sea that is. I can't remember.
It's like the banana. The Gulf. Banana for scale. Like,
yeah. It's a banana boat. The banana. They're just puttering by in their banana boats, getting hit with missiles. This is not acceptable. The banana.
The scale of the banana is yeah, is also small. We want to keep a small scale banana.
A regional banana salesman.
So
then we're trying to get our gravy boats to Israel, but the fucking these little banana boats keep attacking.
So,
oh man,
the thing is though, there is an element of this that is kind of like, it does feel a little bit like kayfabe-ish, sort of, where they're like, we're kind of like, what Yemen is sort of making a show of, they are interrupting shipping.
Right.
And the thing is, they don't have to do very much to do that. And they haven't actually, to my knowledge, killed anyone. Or they haven't sunk any boats either. They hijacked the one boat. And they have shot and hit other boats and missed many more boats. But that's enough to make the boat people, the mariners, like not go through that way. Or the other thing that's annoying the Jews is that there's a lot of shipping that's just like complying with them and is just announcing to them when they go through the Bab el Mandab.
Bab el Mandab.
Yeah, when they go through that, they announce like, this ship has Chinese-only crew and we denounce the Zionist terror state of Israel. And if you do that, they'll let you through.
This lady's a tranny, isn't she?
It does look like a dude.
It's a dude, right?
It looks like a dude.
No, I think it's just another ethnicity and they don't, yeah.
Right, well, she's going. Trying to look as white as she can.
She's got like a white haircut.
Mm. Don't want to see this continue, which is why you have seen the action that we've taken. And as the secretary has stated before, we will continue to take that action if we need to.
The like width of the neck, though, it's like
you got long arms too.
Screaming
big
open
hands.
Bobs. Like the neck is wider than the jaw. Like powerful. It's like Brock Lesnar.
Just to follow up on Idris's question, you said that we are not
the
uptalk
from all these people is kind of insufferable.
Here we go.
I want to hear it.
You said that we are not at war with the Houthis, but if you know this tit for tat bombing, we bombed them 5 times now. So if this isn't war, can you just explain that a little bit more to us? If this isn't war, what is war?
Sure.
What is war? What is war?
Is war when I bomb you 5 times?
Is war when you hit a bunch of my boat?
Well, first of all, we have to define what
smirk.
is.
Just doing internet historian with that. War. What is war?
Well, look at the smirk on her
face. Am I having a war right now? Is this war regional? Is it war even if I don't want it to be? Yeah, that's a good smirk.
Laura. Sure. Great question.
Is that like to detect a hint of embarrassment that you have to like trot this?
Sure, Laura. Sure.
There's some embarrassment.
Yeah,
that
it's
she's
like,
oh wow, you got me. I don't.
It's
I
like
no
I'm waiting.
Idea.
I'm waiting for the. What is
I really
it?
Don't have an answer because America doesn't do wars.
It's
we like, don't do wars. We just
waiting
do
for the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to start playing right there. Yeah. As she's like,
sure, Laura. Sure. Great question. I just wasn't expecting it phrased exactly that way. Look, we are. We
I wasn't expecting you to like dissect all like, my bullshit and just like say what actually.
She's doing the bit of like I'm like embarrassed and caught off guard, and I want you now to empathize with me because I've sort of made a show of being embarrassed and caught
well,
off guard. And like,
I wouldn't say
since
that.
We're doing
it's more like you're not. You know, it's sort of like the etiquette here is like you're not supposed to like parse the semantical games that the foreign policy establishment plays when they give you like quotes for your articles. You're not supposed to break it down into, you know, a usable, like simple
what's amazing
concept.
To me
like,
is
we're supposed to keep everything. It's just a dance. It's supposed to just be a smokescreen. Like, you're not supposed to wave my smokescreen away.
In theory,
like
the people that they put out there to be these spokespeople, the question I also have is like, how are they selected? Because when they put like Karen Jean-Pierre out there, it's literally like she's literally a dumb nigger. Like she's really stupid. And they've actually started doing these press briefings with like different people because of how stupid she was. Remember when it was Jen Psaki? She was up there like fucking just fending these people off like left and right, like fencing with the reporters or
she was bigger time than this girl, right? This
right, is right. Well, Pentagon. she was the press secretary. Yeah, this is the Pentagon thing. But my point is that like these press briefings that they're doing, they're focusing more and more on these other ones, and they're not necessarily, you know, like yes, Karen Jean-Pierre was the White House, but at those White House press briefings now, they have John Kirby doing half of them. Oh, and like they have other people. They actually have her. She only does like 10 minutes now, where Jen Psaki used to do the whole hour of the press conference. But the thing is that like,
because all shows she's like, get vaxxed, you're gonna die. If you don't die, we'll kill you.
But
that's all Jen Psaki had to do. That's why it was easy for her.
They were always talking
about, I'm just going to be an obnoxious bitch. Check out my tits, red hair.
They were always talking about vaccine shit, I guess, back then. But
don't
like,
go my gut. No, I'm not pregnant. Shut up.
I just have a gunt.
Yeah.
But like the other thing is that
the lectern.
That what the fuck was I saying? I do wonder like how are these people selected? And you would think that you would select them for some verbal ability, some ability to engage in banter and to actually think on your feet and be able to catch some of these questions, right? So this, like, what is war? Like, there's a number of ways you could actually field this question, right? And I'm wondering what she's.
What war is.
I'm wondering what she's going
to
say.
Want you to show me.
Right. I mean, I would be like, what is war? I would even, that's kind of like a philosophical.
What is war? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't bomb me. No more.
And I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. What is a war?
What is war?
And I wake up in the morning and I go to the press conference. Anyway, I can't sing at all.
I woke up in Yemen as a Houthi today, and the bomb fell down on my...
And I said, hey,
what is a war? What's going on? Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Did anyone else live through the 90s? They know anything about what we're talking
about?
Well,
thing where, like, He-Man sings that song became very famous, like, in the aughts. So yeah, there was that in the, I don't know. Anyway, but I think people still use that. I think that's still pretty famous.
Or, like, the Night at the Roxbury song.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
Bad one.
Anyway, what the fuck are we talking about? So
we really are opening Anthony now, and we just have like these 30-year-old references. We just assume everyone gets them.
Well, our audience gets them because they're the same age as we are. Anyway, let's
same age or just a little bit younger. So
let's continue here.
Let's.
I want to hear what.
I want to see what she says.
Yeah, I want to know what is war. Baby, don't hurt me. I want to know what war is. I want you to tell me.
Sure. Great question. I just wasn't expecting it phrased exactly that way. Look, we do not seek war. We are.
No. That's not what I asked you. We're off to a bad start.
Yeah, it's like, is this war? Not seek. I didn't ask you if you sought it. I mean, you do.
Not. We are not at war with the Houthis.
But why is she talking about war with Sikhs? I mean, I guess as an Indian, a Sikh war is something you're worried about. But like, we're not talking about that either. We're talking about America.
We are not at war with the Houthis. In terms of a definition, I think that would be more of a clear declaration from the United States. But again,
so as long as we don't declare war,
then it's not war.
It's not war.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how that works.
But so we're bombing them, but it's not a war.
I didn't say it was war.
Raw is war.
Raw is war.
States, but again, what we are doing and the actions that we are taking are defensive in nature.
No, not really.
Man, y'all are really running with that piece of rhetoric, aren't you? Just everything you do involving bombing civilians is just defensive.
And to me, I find that offensive. I find your defensiveness offensive.
But I just
they say a good defense is a good offense is good defense, right?
But they also say like
right.
I also just say, like,
I just did a George W. Bush right there.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like, I don't know. I just say, like, you're all just full of
shit. Fool me twice. You can't fool me again. You can't get fooled again. You can't get bombed again.
I mean, I genuinely do wonder.
Actually, you can't get bombed again.
Mr. President, the second Brown spokesperson is pretending this isn't a war.
Like, how much longer can the United States, like, bullshit its way through this? Like, I actually do wonder that. And there is, like, the sort of the black pill take, which, like, they can do it forever, right? And I know there's people that think that, and that's sort of kind of like close to like the Alex McNabb view, I guess. But
I'm
like,
just wondering, like, do they ever just? They like, ever just
I think
like,
they can do it for a while. But at some point,
do they just make these reporters that ask these questions like disappear? Is there a trap door somewhere? Like, and they just fall and you never hear from them? Because I don't know who they are or what they work for. I guess if you're more
what's
informed.
What's so funny about it is that you see these reporters giving them like a hard time in these press conferences, but then this none of this is like reflected in when you what you read or see on TV. Like when it's finally filtered down to like the printed page or what happens on the news reports, like this sort of skepticism and like is filtered out somewhere along the line, I guess, by like the Jewish editing process, because like these reporters, it's true, like people go into media because not because they're like, I want to report the truth, but because they have a viewpoint that they want to get across. And for many people that go into media that aren't Jewish, that is a liberal worldview, right? But for Jews, it's Jewish power, and they end up obviously controlling it. But there are functionaries and reporters and people that work within the system who go in and they do want to enact some kind of liberal worldview or liberal agenda, and they have a reason to give these kind of officials that are talking like this a difficult time. But what's amazing is how is this sort of skepticism about what America is doing? Do you ever see this then reflected on the printed page on the internet or on?
Do we know who's asking the question? We can go look it up. I mean, I don't.
Well, I'm just saying. I read the news about this all day, every day. I read it. Okay, I read the news a lot. I read what they're saying in the main papers a lot, and I can't imagine that like the local news coverage is like doing something more in depth on any of this. No, it's national news.
I just assume these people work for some. Like esoteric, like specialized, like small, like magazine or something somewhere that nobody else reads. And
no,
and they
no.
just can't make them.
I think
go
they're
away.
They're like major national yeah. correspondents, and but this kind of skepticism that they're expressing in these press conferences.
Like, who the fuck was Saeed? Remember the other day?
Well, bouncing off what Saeed just asked you, and
he probably works for like
who is Saeed? Like, tell me who
we,
that is.
We actually could probably look it up. I do want to.
Hey, what's up? You know, you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks.
Know the names of these reporters and look up where they work, and you'll find they probably work for like Reuters and the Associated Press and things like that. Like it's not, or even like the New York Times or something like that. Like they're not. They work for a major. You don't get to be in the Pentagon or the White House briefing room if you're just some, you know, you got to like get through some vetting process to be allowed into those rooms. I mean, I remember when Max Blumenthal made it into the White House press briefing room, or it was the State Department. I think Matt Miller is like the State Department. So he's in there, and then Matthew Miller is like, oh, wow, we got like new people here. And then like Max Blumenthal wasn't back. Now, Max Blumenthal does like the gray zone, and as we know, he's Jewish, but he is highly skeptical. Probably for his own reasons of this Israel shit, but
well, I want to hear more about.
He's been going pretty hard.
I want to hear more about how this is not a war and what a war is.
Clear declaration from the United States, but again, what we are doing and the actions that we are taking are defensive in nature.
Look how big your hands are.
Some spider fingers, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Turn back to the fact that
she should play bass.
There have been over 30 attacks by Houthis on. 50 different nations that are transiting the Red Sea at this time. I can only repeat so many times that we do not seek war with the Houthis, but we will take self-defense actions. If
yeah, we
need.
More like
we
will bring it to them, and
we
are.
We don't really seek war with them, but we seek to like for many years we sought successfully to give money and weapons to Saudi Arabia to seek war with the Houthis
to protect our troops, to protect commercial shipping, and to. Ensure that freedom of navigation is still allowed through international.
This is bullshit. You know how you could protect shipping? You could stop the war in Israel.
Yeah.
You can stop the war in Israel by stopping. I mean, I would love it if one of these reporters asked, "Has have you considered, not just like a gentle prodding at Israel, urging them to stop, but like
is it now fair
just
to
like
say
cutting
that
them off?
The U.S. is at war is in Yemen?" Mean? And
oh,
secondly,
okay. It just started playing.
So are you looking at this one?
I'm looking at this guy's article. Unidentified flying objects have been striking Houthi targets in Yemen in recent days. Not little green men, but U.S. military aircraft operating from bases that are apparently extraterrestrial because the Biden administration hasn't wanted to name our local allies, and the news media has been too lazy or captive to inquire. Planes are originating from countries Jordan, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, possibly Oman and Saudi Arabia, otherwise decry Israel's war and oppose the strikes on the Houthis. Okay.
Right. This is true. Now, they have been saying Bahrain. Now, Bahrain is an island somewhere, or like a set of islands somewhere between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. It's a tiny little country.
Bahrain.
It's another one of these Arab oil countries. But it's tiny. I think they're out of oil, but like whatever industry, it's a little really rich island with a bunch of these Arabs in like robes walking around on it. And it's so much, it's like it has no reason to be its own country either. Like Qatar also kind of has no reason to be its own country. It's just like a little nub off of Saudi Arabia. And then like somewhere between that and Qatar is like Bahrain or in that general region. There's no reason for this to be a country. Like for whatever reason. Like for some reason it is, but it doesn't make any sense because it's not linguistically or culturally any different than any of the places surrounding it. Same with like United Arab Emirates, all that shit, right? But like the thing is that it's like they're the only one that admitted to being part of this coalition. Even the Saudis don't want to admit that they're allowing their airspace to be used for these bombings, and they're probably allowing the bases in their country to be used for these bombings. I know that the British, who are assisting in these bombings, are launching their strikes from Cyprus. They haven't included Cyprus in their coalition, their list of coalition countries. The coalition is like, it's listed as like U.S., Britain, Australia, Bahrain, like, and a couple others. And no one else is like, leave us out of it. Don't tell them that we're cooperating and that we're part of it. And yet, it's true, like, there are bases all over that region where these strikes could be launched from. They're probably not being launched from aircraft carriers. This is something I looked into and learned. They're probably not being launched from aircraft carriers. They are probably being launched from land bases that we have peppered throughout the region. And in a way, like Qatar being this nation that is like constantly talking all this shit, it's almost like, well, that's where we have CENTCOM headquarters was in like Doha and all this stuff. So it's like the Qatari government like has to do that. Like it's like this is one of the things that America has to kind of like let happen is that the Qatari government is going to talk all this shit and they have to do it because otherwise everyone's like, dude, you're literally one of the main enablers of this shit because you have this major base. Why don't you tell that base to leave? See, because this is the other thing because they say like, well, America is an empire, so you like can't tell its bases to leave. That is the problem is, though, that America bases its pretense of being in these countries on some kind of legality. That's why when the president of Iraq is like, I'm going to make American troops leave, rather than just like saying, LOL, go ahead and say it, and we'll say, no, we don't. They frantically work diplomatically behind the scenes to like bribe him, pay him off, or threaten him so he doesn't end up doing that. Right. And there's also an element of it where it's like they let him do that because they understand that that keeps the Iraqi. They do kayfabe on Arabs, too. So they let these Arab governments say these things because they need to say them. Because if they were just like, hey, we're just conquered countries, we're just puppets of Zog. Like then they would get killed by their own people. This is like the Jordanians are doing this. The Egyptians do this. All of them do it. It's just a funny thing. So I think it would be great if like the president of Iraq actually said, you know what? Nah. The Iraqi parliament has voted and I'm passing the bill. We want American bases out of Iraq. And just see what happens. See what happens. Now, if you immediately get like murdered, the problem is they'll just kill you. And he's like, well, you know, I'm not willing to die. So there it is. But yeah. But meanwhile, also Iraq, the government of Iraq is also like cooperating with the Iranians and has even said these Iranian militias or Shiite militias inside of Iraq are part of the armed forces of Iraq. So America's like, we're occupying Iraq at the permission of the government, but we're also, and we're doing it to protect Iraq from ISIS, which is bullshit, but we're also like occasionally bombing elements of the Iraq armed forces, and elements of the Iraq armed forces occasionally bomb us. And this is normal. And the reason that's so weird is because America's soft power pretense dictates that we put this pretense out there that we are in this country democratically, we're here for human rights, and it's no, we're here because of hard power, but we can't like admit that. And if we did, then we'd have to leave because then everybody would start fighting us. It's a fucking weird situation. But the thing is, they did bomb Iraq again yesterday, and they did it because the day before that, the Iraqis hit a U.S. base with a bunch of missiles. And here's another thing. They said, we intercepted a bunch of those missiles with our missile defense systems. And so the question is, well, what missile defense systems? And the answer is like, well, it's obvious that those are Patriot defense systems, right? And this is another way that the Iranians probably, maybe, but maybe somewhat in cooperation with the Russians, I would say they should be coordinating if they're not, are depleting America's ability to project power. Because one of our main Patriot systems have been the shit since the Gulf War, when they were constantly bragging, oh, look at our Patriot missile defense, we can shoot down any Scud, we can do whatever, right? Mm-hmm. There's a limited number of these systems. The actual interceptor missiles cost a lot of money, and there's a limited number of those. So again, if the Iranians, through their proxies in Iraq, can shoot some cheap, easy to manufacture, small ballistic rockets or missiles, like unguided, at a U.S. base and force that base to expend Patriot missiles, well, they've introduced a cost. And after the United States killed General Soleimani in Iraq, you know, that base didn't have, they didn't have Patriot defense systems. Until they killed General Soleimani, then the Iranians, through their proxies, unleashed a missile barrage on the base. Then they have to move a Patriot defense system to that base. So if we want to keep all of these places where we're going to have military bases, we're going to launch airstrikes on places like Yemen and other places, we want to keep all of these things, well, we have to defend those positions. It's easy for the Arabs to shoot at them with cheaper weapons. It's expensive for us to defend. The more of these places that there are, the more of these little bases, the more ships we have, the more land bases that have to be, they didn't have Patriot missiles around those. They had to move them in. Well, that's a Patriot system, and that's a certain number of Patriot missiles that you can't have in Ukraine, can't have them anywhere else. Israel doesn't have them. They have to be there. And so the more costs like this the Arabs can introduce to the American empire, the more they're actually depleting its power, and we have to make trade-offs and decisions. Do we give Ukraine all these air defenses? Because Ukraine's air defenses have been collapsing. And the Russians have been doing, like, massive, like, cruise missile and airstrikes. Like, one of the criticisms of Russia early in the war is, like, they're not using their huge air force to great effect. Well, they are probably afraid of Ukrainian air defense. They're not anymore. It's been depleted. And America can't send more because we need to have it defending all our bases in the Middle East, and the Iranians are putting pressure there. So again, it's like this idea that the American empire isn't under pressure. I just don't agree. Like, there's constant problems that it's running into. And the thing is, it's cheap for them to do it to us, and it's expensive for us to defend ourselves. And eventually this imbalance, what this is doing is shifting the balance of power. It's shifting. It's not like America's without power, but the balance is slowly shifting. That's how it's going to happen.
That's the downside of having this like a gravy train sort of grift of the military industrial complex of the, you know, the guaranteed orders. So it's like when you have to actually use the shit.
Yeah.
You have to usually use it against, like, you know, little shit like what the Houthis do. It's like, ah, man, this is a little bit expensive. expensive.
Right.
And the stuff has to be really expensive.
And I mean, look, the missiles that we shoot are usually Tomahawk missiles. Now, it's funny because Tomahawk missiles are like the not they're cruise missiles.
Yeah, that's what they're saying were used in this. I had a CNN. Yeah.
Those are subsonic cruise missiles. Now, we shoot them all the time. The thing is, we have a ton of them.
Skate, skate, skate.
And we were talking about this with Lewis last week with on the show with me and Borzo, where Lewis was on. He's like, there's like people in the military who are literally like wanting to shoot the Tomahawk missiles because we have like so many of them. Thing is, though, the Tomahawk missiles are like, you can shoot them at Yemen because Yemen doesn't really have air defense. You want to go against like Russia or like Iran, those aren't going to work. They're subsonic. Those countries have air defenses that are going to pick those things off. They're not going to. You're not going to be able to penetrate.
I'll tell you what their strategies, American military strategy is, would be to just overwhelm them.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would be a strategy, but that's a strategy that two can.
You're going to burn a lot of Tomahawks doing that, but
that's a strategy
start taking out the defenses.
That's a strategy that two can play, which is also why you haven't seen the Iranians or Hezbollah or any of them actually do that yet. They've been doing a slow burn. They've been doing a very slow burn on this, and it's also like when America complains about Iran and they complain like bitterly, and when Jews complain bitterly about the Iranians, the complaints are because the Iranians are legitimately causing them like massive problems. They're proliferating weapons and they're projecting power throughout the Middle East, and they're also not giving America any reasons. Like they're projecting power, but they're taking hits and they're absorbing them, and they're not striking back as strongly as they can. Although the missile strikes they did last week were kind of a statement, they didn't cross any tripwires or red lines for America, but it's highly frustrating to America because they've wanted to sort of bait them into something. And the Iranians are not taking the bait, even though America is legitimately constantly provoking and constantly provoking. But by not fucking up and going too far, the Iranians are giving themselves a lot of options. They're giving themselves more time to build up more stocks of munitions. They're further proliferating them, and they're frustrating America. Right now, like, they're kind of running the chessboard here. And it's highly frustrating to America because it's like they can light little fires and we have to put them out, and it's always more expensive for us to put them out than it is for them to light them. And the thing that would you know, America could possibly like put an end to their ability to do this with an all out war, but that potentially would end our ability to project power too. Like, I think an all-out, straight-up war
domestically,
with Iran,
you would just run into some problems if you were to attempt that strategy. I think it would be, particularly around election time, that's just not, I don't think that's feasible.
Well, this is why
what would the pretense be? What's the pretense for you fucking attacking Iran?
Going all in.
What would it be?
Well, they've been doing, they're trying to develop one, but for a while, I mean, the other thing is they can't, there's no pretense for them to do something like assassinate an Iranian general, but they did it. So the thing is,
that's one of their limited strikes. Yes, I'm talking about.
They do that because it's not going to totally light the whole thing up.
I mean, thinking back 20 years ago, we had the pretense from 9/11, which was enough to create a rallying cry, bring up recruitment, all of that.
For an actual on-the-ground invasion of the Middle East.
Yeah, really. I don't know that you could generate something like that now.
No, you can't. Even if you blew up New York City, like, you couldn't generate that because people just wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, a lot of people would be like, oh, fuck them.
Well, the kinds of people that joined the military wouldn't care, or they used to join the military. The kinds of people that made the American military strong 20, 30 years ago would not give a fuck. They just wouldn't.
Generally, from what I've seen out in the wild, people are... The general thing that people believe is we should just not be there. We should not be fucking around in the Middle East.
No,
they've been tired of it for a long time now.
Yes, and Americans hate. Generally speaking, the American public does hate our empire, and they don't understand it. Thing is, it's like when you have an empire like America's empire, which has hard powers proliferated around the planet, but the problem is, the ability for that hard power to actually persist in the face of challenges, particularly if they're in multiple different places, is showing its limitations now because more people are like, yeah, we're going to fuck with you. We're going to start fucking with you. And that's why what they relied, they also relied on these sort of soft power institutions to legitimize their presence everywhere. Once the legitimacy of Americans' presence everywhere is tested by people actually like standing up to us and having a moral case for doing so, because it's one thing to say like, all right, I'm just going to sort of for no reason shoot missiles at an American base. Well, if the people that are living in the area where you're doing that don't support you doing that, they're going to get mad at you, not at America, right? Like, why are you fucking around with the powers that be when there's no reason to do it? But in the Middle East, it's like, no, everyone's like, you shot a missile at an American base, high five. Like, fuck them, right? Everyone hates us. And so they all cheer. And fucking half the, like, I don't know, some people, no, there's probably actually a limited number of people here that actually cheer when that happens. Like us and maybe some other, there's a few other people who are inclined to like cheer when they shoot missiles at American bases here. But the point is that it's like, this the way it was set up is like, yeah, it's everywhere. And but it also needed this veneer of legitimacy and human rights and peace and maintaining this order and all this shit. It needed that to sort of justify it being there everywhere. Once that disappears and people are like, well, now we're going to test whether or not you have the staying power to stay here. Now you're running into problems. That's why they wanted, that's why they needed the soft power approach. And that's why when that collapses, that's going to have serious costs, because now your hard power is going to come, is going to meet a test. It's going to meet hard resistance more so than it is faced before. This is building, the balance of power is shifting, and that's why I really think, like, I'm not saying it's all coming to an end. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know what the timeline is going to be. All I'm saying is, like, they're running up against a lot of problems. Main problem is that the whole point of this entire superstructure is to defend a country that is right now and currently engaged in open genocide. And that is totally indefensible, yet they have to defend it. So that puts you in a very tough position. It puts people like this Pajit woman in a tough position. But she's got to go out there. Her job is to sell this. Her job. Her job is to fucking tell people this is what we're doing.
I'll give you my armchair general take on what's happening here. I think the United States was trying to shift gears and do this great power competition thing with China and Russia. They've been transitioning away from the GWAT because after 20 seasons of the GWAT, everybody's tired of it. That's why they pulled out of Afghanistan. That's why their troop deployments are still concentrated around China and Russia. I think that Israel has kind of caught them in a bad spot where they're like, what? We have to go back and fuck with this? No, 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 that's not the plan. What are you doing?
I think they got fucking tricked. I think that part of the reason they pulled out of Afghanistan was because they were like, well, why are we in Afghanistan when if we let...
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Let the Taliban take over Afghanistan. That will be a group that is an ideological... Well, it's costing us a lot to be here. It's unpopular. And the Afghanis, like the Taliban, is not ideologically in sync with Iran anyway. So it's not like they're immediately going to become allies with Iran. So we can just sort of pull out of here. Additionally, also, frankly, America's power isn't infinite. So we were hitting a point where we needed to pull out of someplace. That seemed to be the obvious candidate. Now, in the Middle East, I don't buy this transitioning away from the GWAT shit. That's fucking the kind of shit that they say, but it wasn't
real. Well, I don't buy the idea that they are really pulling down troop deployment to the point where they're abandoning it, because I've seen people like Zihan say that. That's not true either. They're not leaving.
They're not abandoning
it.
They're staying, but they're politically pretending like they're not. Like, we're in Syria. It's illegal for us to be there. Like, it's legitimate.
And they've said they're not. And they've said they're not pulling out of Syria. They've made that statement.
Right, and they've said they're not pulling out of Iraq. They're not pulling out of these places. But Peter Zion also won't tell you, why are we even there?
Of course not.
Like, he won't tell you why we're there. He legitimately couldn't explain it if you tried to tell him. But and his shit, like, oh, we're trans. I don't buy this transitioning away. No, Israel is Israel. The state of Israel, the Jewish state, is the raison d'etre, the reason for existence of the American Empire. That is why it exists. Its purpose is to defend and protect the state of Israel. That is why it exists. So when they make moves, the moves they make are with that in mind, and that's really the fundamental goal of all of it. So if they need to, the pretense of transitioning away from the Great War on Terror is because they don't actually have any political excuse for the Great War on Terror anymore, so they're just saying that. But they're continuing. They don't want what it really is the Great War on Syria, making sure the Syrian government doesn't exist in a stable fashion. And we've kept all of our air bases and such in all these other countries. And if they're pulling troops out, it's because they actually thought that they could. And one of the reasons they thought that they could is because they were provoking the Iranians and the Iranians weren't really responding. Part of the reason they thought they could pull out of Afghanistan. Israel fucked up big time internal to Israel, which is sort of a microcosm of this whole thing. They thought Gaza was taken care of. They thought Hamas had effectively been sort of like brought to heel and wasn't going to be a problem. So they shifted their focus away from the Gaza border, and they paid the price for that.
Yep.
And so now they're realizing that, oh, in fact, this shifting away from the Great War on Terror, I don't know. I just find it, that's just, I don't buy that. Because like, there is no Great War on Terror. The Great War on Terror is like the Great War to protect the Great War to protect and preserve Zionism.
They're not using that rhetoric anymore.
Yeah, they're just not saying because they don't have that excuse. Well,
every now and then, when they need an excuse,
what I'm talking about is like the Defense Department saying that we want to scale that idea down. We want to go after China and Russia. They outlined that in 2018. If you look at their current troop deployments, it's Japan, Germany, and South Korea is where the bulk of our shit is. That would be kind of the litmus test: is how much is that being recalibrated with what's going on in the Middle East? How much shifting around is happening? I don't think America really wants to have the presence it has right now because of Israel. I don't think America's happy with Israel dragging them into more of a conflict there than they want.
Well, it's not up to America to be happy or not. Like, the purpose for the existence of this complex is protecting Israel. The Jews make the decisions, and they are going to choose this over that. If they had temporarily thought Israel was secure so we can focus on elsewhere, well, that's changed. And so the thing is, like, can they put more troops? The thing is, we can't politically put troops on the ground in the Middle East because nobody fucking wants to do it. So they're gonna have they're trying. That's something that they can't figure. And also, these Arab countries, if you land more troops in any of these Arab countries, like, that's going to be hugely provocative. Like, can we put more troops in Iraq? Can America, from the perspective of Americans and Iraqis, put like 2,000 more Marines on the ground in Iraq? Can we do that, or will that actually be provocative enough that itself would be destabilizing? So it's like happy with Israel. It's not, dude. America doesn't get to be happy or not happy with Israel. Like, that's not. It's like America's happiness isn't even a thing. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. I think these kinds of narratives are part of the fucking fakery. Like, it's part of the thing of like, well, we don't want Israel to actually commit genocide. It's like, no, you're saying that to like fend off, to keep this pretense alive that you have any fucking choice in the matter. But if you were really unhappy with Israel, stop sending them bombs. Until you do that, until we stop just being Israel's lawyer, Israel's arsenal, and Israel's bodyguard, I don't believe any of this crap about like we're not happy or we're urging Netanyahu to do this or that. It's like, from the perspective, it's like America is not happy. Well, that's like telling that to a Jew. It's like, I'm sorry, it sounds like you're speaking in Klingon or something. I don't even understand what you're saying. Like, what does that matter? America is happiness? It's irrelevant. It's not even a thing. Anyway, I don't know.
Let's take a break. I'm starving.
I'm starving too. I have a sandwich.
Oh, I have to go make one.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Mark Stein in the news here.
Not all of it good.
He's supposedly Jewish. I'm disappointed.
Mark Stein?
Somebody was telling me that. I was like, I was like totally convinced that he wasn't, but who knows?
People like will say anybody's Jewish. It's just like it's. Bring the evidence. Anyway, we'll go back.
You are listening to the Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you